Great. It's November 7th, 2012. I'm Eric Damer speaking here with Judy Hagen. Thank you, Judy, for coming in and speaking with us.
Well, I'm delighted to because Burnaby, of course, was where I was raised. Mm-hmm. And I think, although I now live in Courtney and love the history there, I feel my history begins in Burnaby. Mm-hmm. And actually, the history of our family doesn't quite begin, I mean, the history in Canada begin there, but my father was 2 years old when the family moved there in 1918. Mm-hmm. So we'll put it that way. Now, one of the questions you wanted was why my family moved there. And economics, absolutely. Because my grandfather was a master stonemason. He had trained in Ilfracombe in Devon. Mm. And his tools, by the way, are at the museum. Mm-hmm. And then when he went to Bournemouth because My grandfather was, and this is important, he was absolutely punctilious. And Mr. Huxtable, who had trained him, claimed that my grandfather arrived late for work and fired him. So he went to Bournemouth, and that was where he met my grandmother. And they had four children, and before the First World War, there was a Great Depression in England. And a lot of people aren't aware of that, and he was working three-quarter time. And I've seen letters that he wrote to his brother. He was the youngest of five. And he had to find work. So the first thing he did was get a ticket on a ship in 1912.
A landmark year for traveling.
It was. And unfortunately, there was a coal strike. Hmm. And my grandfather needed to make his connection from New York to Vancouver to New Zealand, where he was going to get employment. Hmm. So he did not sail on the Titanic. And had he sailed in the Titanic, I would not be here today. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the first important things about our family story. So he went to New Zealand, and he went with a young apprentice, and I don't know whatever happened to him. Did not find work, came back to Vancouver and found work, and then my grandmother and the four children came out. And they first of all lived in the, it's a cottage, the cottage district. It used to be a cedar cot in the cedar cottage district. And but after my father was born, my grandfather was able to purchase a house, and that was the house at Dover Street. And so they moved there in 1918. I believe that house was built in 1914. Hmm. And I don't think it was finished. So this really is the story of Dover Street. And all the books that are there don't mention Dover Street. So Dover Street began as Paul Street because Mr. Paul and his wife Annie, who were probably married about 1909, moved there, I believe, in 1910. They're in the 1911 census. And they had a very, very plain house, the kind of house that you would see on the prairie, just like a box house that children would draw. And that's the way it was when I grew up. I mean, it didn't change any. And they had a bit of acreage there, and we can call it a farm, but it wasn't really a working farm. He had a big barn there, many fruit trees. Behind him was a huge field, but he was a pipe fitter, mm-hmm. so he went to work every day in Vancouver. But when I was growing up, and because it was during the war, I was born in 1941. Mm-hmm. There was a team of Clydesdale horses that were in that barn, and I could hear them clip-clop, and they would take off because, of course, no gas. People would hire him to do the fields in our area. Now, this is between Nelson and Royal Oak, and people, you know, not far from Metrotown. Mm-hmm. Of course, Ocala was there. But this area was very interesting because if his house was built about 1910, there were a number of houses on Dover Street, a bit further down as far as Buxton, and at the end of our street that were that era. And then hardly anything is built between the First and Second World War. And that's why I thought it was important to make this statement. So I have a crazy little map here. Okay. But on Nelson Avenue, there was an old house that I vaguely remember on our corner, which would be the northwest corner. there was a big old house that I sort of remember as being a very faded yellow, and I think it must have been the loveliest of all the houses. Then there would have been three empty lots, and then my grandparents. Mm-hmm. There would have been, for some time, a whole bunch of empty lots. And why I'm saying this is because down towards Royal Oak, you have Dover Bakery. And Mr. Smart, his name was Fordyce Smart, his son was Fordyce Smart, had this bakery. And the bakery was not very big, and not in the sense that you think of a bakery, where you could go and buy bread, but it wasn't like a nice counter at the front. Mm-hmm. So there were huge brick ovens. And as a child, I would actually go down to get the bread that he had just brought out of the ovens. He also, my mother told me, he would bake her Christmas cakes for mm-hmm. her, because you want a slow oven for it. And he also, for some reason, did wedding cakes, which is unusual because he really was a bread and mm-hmm. bun man. Mm-hmm. And his son, Fordyce, married the daughter of the Pauls. So it was a kind of an interesting little community. Mm-hmm. And so, and her name was Eunice. There's a picture of the Dover Street bakery, or delivery truck. And when I was shown that by line, I thought, oh, it's either Fordyce or my dad. And then somebody flipped it over and they said, oh, it is Fordyce. But I'd already taken the magnifying glass and I knew it wasn't. Now, the famous story about my dad, this is kind of mixed up, I guess. But my dad went to the Y because my uncle Fred was the leader there. So from the time he was 7, and he did gymnastics, and he was a bit of a tumbler. Mm-hmm. So during the Depression, you took whatever work you could. And I would assume he only drove on Saturdays and somebody's wedding cake. And so he was, and I think it was only two tiers, but it would have been where it was actually not, you know, one level on the other, but with the little tiers and everything set, you know, on boards. Mm-hmm. And everybody's in the window watching him come, and I wish I could remember the name of the family. As he came down from the truck, he slipped. Uh-oh. And he tumbled and he caught the cake and nothing was wrong.
Oh boy.
And that was the story told so often in our family. So then on the other side of the street, there were, at the very end by Royal Oak, there were three or four what I call pre-war houses. Mm-hmm. And then up, there was no Marlboro Avenue. It was kind of a lane. There was a house, and I don't know when that was built. It was their very elegant house. But then you got the Pauls in, and I want to sort of get the economics of it. From Nelson Avenue to the Pauls house, there was greenhouses, and that was the Aldersons. And just to kind of take up how it was a community, at the end of the war, the Second World War, Mr. Alderson could not get enough people to come and take the little seedlings and put them into the six packs. So he went around to all the women in the neighborhood and he said, I'll let you come when the kids go to school. You can go home for lunch. By then Marlboro School was built. And then you can go back again. In other words, that they could still be the housewives looking after the kids, but they would be able to then have some employment. This was a huge thing. And so that's how come we got a fridge.
Oh, okay.
I think how come my mother got her sewing machine and how come she got her fur coat. And so, then she didn't work anymore. But that was a little extra pin money. But he worked around the women in the neighborhood. Because by then we had other people coming into the neighborhood from after the Second World War. But in 1918, when my father moved there, that was Dover Street. Just this very vague little street. And everybody looked after everybody else. And that spirit of Dover Street continues really even now. There are people that I connect with from Dover Street, although they have long since moved away. There was one house built between the war, and the people that lived there was Mrs. Wilding, and I only knew her as a very old lady. And when she moved away, somehow she had such a connection to my mother. She moved to Quesnel, back to Quesnel. She would still send me little gifts at Christmas. And then when my parents would go up and see her, and so when Barkerville opened and my parents went up there, she's in a home by this point, and they come back and they're visiting with her, and they say, oh, we've been to Barkerville. And she says, oh, they took us up there from the home. She says, it's exactly as it was when I had to go and get the medicine for my husband about 1905, 1906,